Ladies and gentlemen, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, we have gone all the way in the culture from Madonna singing Papa Don't Preach into the churches, and the churches are saying preachers don't preach. The time will come when they will have itching ears, and they will turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, myths. But Paul gives a word concerning apostasy, and with a note of urgency, he says to the young preacher, preach the word. That's what God wants the preacher to do in this day.
To 2 Samuel, I love to preach about King David. I love it. David is one of my heroes, for years, I've studied the life of David, and he's just one of my heroes, and this is where the Lord took me to. 2 Samuel, chapter number 9, we're going to see something about the heart of King David. He was a man of war, a man of blood, but he revealed something to us in 2 Samuel, chapter 9, about his heart. And I just now remembered something. I saw Brother Eric sitting back there. He told me just a few minutes ago he got a text message from Eric and Tia White. I know most of you here know Eric White. It's Roger White's son. Tia is having some problems in childbirth even as we speak. And she's not doing very well, neither is the child. So whisper a prayer for Tia White. I love it. Precious little girl with all of my heart. So remember her today when you pray. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 9 is going to be a very familiar reading to you. This is what the Lord has laid upon our heart, and I'm a very simple preacher. Most time I get several amens when I say that. But in order to preach, the Lord, I have to see what I'm preaching. The Lord has to paint me a picture, and He surely painted me a picture on what He's given me to preach. You bear with me because I'm not the artist that He is. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? He said, thy servant is he. The king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son. That was a key word right there to David, Jonathan. Yeah. Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Immediately, look at it. The king said unto him, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Mesher, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Mesher, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, but he answered, behold thy servant. Now notice in verse number 7, this fellow's afraid. He's afraid for his life.
Yeah.
There's a reason that David says, don't fear. Verse 7, David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all of his house. Thou, therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. And notice, the Bible points out, he was lame on both his feet. My Father, as I bow in your presence, Lord, I've tried to pray and prepare. Lord, I understand that unless you anoint me, there'll be no preaching done. I'm vile and I'm wretched, but I stand accepted in the Beloved. I come before you not on my merits, but on the merits of what the Lord Jesus done for me at Calvary. I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. I'll give you the praise for the message in Jesus' name. Amen. David, one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. The greatest, by far. There was one far greater than David. They crowned him with thorns. But he's coming back. And he will sit on the throne of David. David in the Old Testament is one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. He was a warrior. David was a military genius. I was watching the History Channel the other day. And I was amazed, I was shocked at what they were talking about. They were talking about the military maneuvers of King David. And they were so good, so intelligent and precise. Do you know that the military maneuvers of David have been studied and they have been used in campaigns in the Middle East? Because of David's intelligence when it came to a military leader. Yet, David being a man of blood, a man of war, a warrior. The Bible said in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 that David was a man after God's own heart. And when I read that years ago, I had a desire to know everything I could know about King David. How could a man be that strong? How could a man be that much of a warrior? How could a man be that much of a man of blood? Yet the Bible say that he was a man after God's own heart. My, the story of King David. David was anointed by Samuel when he was just a teenager. Just a teen. Came to the house of Jesse, anointed David in 1 Samuel 16. And man, I'm telling you, buddy, David, I mean, he don't mess around. Because in 1 Samuel 17, the very next chapter, he defeats the mighty Goliath. My, God's on this boy. I'm telling you, there's something about this young man. And we follow David's life throughout the Scriptures. We see what a man of God David really was. But I say something I appreciate about the Word of God. The Word of God gives you the whole picture. It paints the good and the bad, and it gives you all of it. But in doing so, it lets you know that we serve a God of mercy, a God of long-suffering, and a God of forgiveness. My, what a thing. When you come to 1 Samuel chapter number 18, a very touching thing takes place. Because the Bible talks about there was a certain type of love and a binding between David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Saul, the king at that time. And Jonathan was the crown prince, next in line. But after the defeat of Goliath, Jonathan knew there's something about this young man. I'm telling you, this young man's got God on him. And the Bible said there was a love covenant between David and Jonathan. And when you get to chapter 18, they meet in a field. And they make a covenant with each other. The Bible talks about the fact that Jonathan looked at David. Jonathan took his robes off. Put them on David. They exchanged garments. They exchanged armor. And they made a covenant. I've read this, but many years ago I went to a service in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I heard a man stand up and teach about these covenants of the Middle East. And First Samuel 18 will bear it out. He said when they made a covenant or a pact between two people, they would exchange garments. They would exchange armor. They would take their knife or sword and they would lance their arm and they would bind their arms together and they would bleed in each other's wound. Then they would prepare a memorial meal
in honor of that contract. And understand, the word covenant means cutting. That's what the word means.
Right.
Then after the meal, they would take the ashes. And they'd rub the ashes into the open wound so it would leave a lasting scar. And it will leave a lasting scar. My dad always had a scar on his lip that you could see until the day I put him in the ground. Till the day he graduated. That scar was there because he wrecked a coal truck. And he lay his lip open. And that coal dust got in that sore, in that cut. And even though they stitched it up, you could always see that on my dad's lip. So they made that wound a scar that was identifiable. And years down the road, if by chance these two covenanters should meet each other on the battlefield and recognize each other, they would just display the mark of the covenant and there would be an immediate ceasefire. They would never face each other on the battlefield because it was a covenant of blood. It was a covenant of cutting. So David is sitting around. Even though he was anointed by Samuel many years ago, some 15 years or so pass before David is actually seated on the throne in Jerusalem as king over the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And David's sitting around and he looks across his vast kingdom. And all of a sudden, I believe this with all of my soul. I believe he felt a pain, Brother Peach, in his arm.
Amen.
He rolled his sleeve up and he saw the marks of the covenant. And Jonathan's gone. Saul's dead.
Yeah.
Jonathan's dead. David stood up and spoke at the memorial service.
Right.
My, what a touching thing David said about Saul and Jonathan. He said they stood together in battle. They didn't run from the sword. They fought side by side. He said they were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. He remembers a covenant. But Jonathan's dead. Saul's dead. Ishbosheth is dead. And David said, is there anybody left?
Yeah. Amen. I can see that, brother. Yeah.
Can't you see that, brother?
Amen.
Is there anybody left from the house of Saul?
Amen.
That I could show the kindness of God to? For Jonathan's sake. And somebody said, well, yeah, now there's a little feller. Jonathan, he had a boy, and his nurse dropped him when he was 5 years old. And he's crippled on both feet, David. And the poor little feller, he's got a little family, and he lives down there in Lodibar. That word means house of no bread. In other words, he's poor.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't he be? He's lame on both his feet. How's he going to work? And immediately, when David heard the word, he's Jonathan's boy, he said, go get him.
Amen.
Go fetch him. And so he sends servants and messengers down to Lodibar, the house of no bread.
Amen.
Now, let's go down there a minute. I told you, Lord's got to paint me a picture. I got to see what I'm preaching. Mephibosheth knows, according to the custom, that when a new king takes over, the first thing they do is eradicate the sons and the grandsons of the former king. I believe that he's lived down there in seclusion, knowing that the day will come when David knows that there's still somebody alive from the house of Saul. And so when they come to get Mephibosheth in the land of Lodibar, there's fear that strikes to his heart. Because what he's thinking is, they're going to take me back to the palace of David and David is going to have me executed. He had every right to believe that. I believe when the messengers come down to Lodibar, they find the house of Mesher. They go in and they summons Mephibosheth. I picture Mrs. Mephibosheth pleading for her husband's life. Oh, don't take him. I mean, we live down here in seclusion and we're just poor folks, and he's lame on both his feet. We barely get by as it is. We got a family. We got a boy. So my husband could never be a threat to King David. Please, please don't take him. They said, we've been summoned by the king, and Mephibosheth must go back with us. They carry little old crippled Mephibosheth back to the palace of King David. And they set him down in front of David and they walk away and it's just Mephibosheth and David.
Yeah.
He's laying there in a little crumpled heap. He's crippled on both feet. And David looks at him. And he said, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." I mean, he thinks that he's getting ready to get the axe. He's ready to hear, "Are you the son of Saul? Saul was my grandfather. Take him out back." That's what he's expecting. That was the custom. He starts pleading. He said, "David, I'm just a dead dog." He said, "I'm just a poor little crippled fella. I live with my little old family down there on the other side of the tracks. We have a hard time down there, David. Look, I don't have the finances and I don't have the strength to ever cause an insurrection. I could never go against you, David, and resurrect the house of my father Saul."
Right.
I believe David grinned.
Amen.
He said, "Son, there's no need for you to be afraid. That's not why you're here. Mephibosheth, as a matter of fact, this ain't even about you."
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
This ain't even about you. It's about a covenant that I had with your daddy.
Amen.
Your daddy's dead. So that covenant promise falls to you, Mephibosheth.
Good.
I want to tell you something. From this day forward, you'll be seated at my table.
Yes. Amen.
With the rest of my sons.
Amen.
And you'll eat bread at my table continually.
That's right.
I'm going to give you 35 servants to put out your crops, put them back in your barn, and feed you. All you have to do is be seated at my table.
Amen.
Don't you think my family shall fall? What did I do to deserve this? Nothing.
Right.
You didn't do anything to deserve it. It ain't about you.
Right.
It's about this scar on my arm. It's about a covenant that I had with your father.
Amen.
Your father's gone. The covenant promise falls to you. Man.
Amen.
Now they've got the table set for all the king's boys to come in and eat. This is royalty. The Bible tells you all the king's son rode on white mules. You seen a white mule coming down? That's one of the king's boys right there, buddy. And they tell me, the historians say, that the kings would put their son's name on their particular spot. And they'd come in the eldest to the least. All of David's sons come in their royalty. And they're seated at David's table. David pauses. They're used to that. And here comes a servant carrying in a little crippled fella.
Amen.
Say they done took him back in the back and gave him an extreme makeover. He's no longer wearing the clothes of loaded barn. He's no longer wearing the clothes of loaded barn.
That's right. Amen.
Oh no.
Amen.
And they set him down. It's a king. I bet you these other fellas thought.
Yes.
You know who that is?
What's he doing sitting here? He could never be a soldier in the king's army.
Yeah.
You notice that fellow's crippled sitting over there. What's Dad up to? And David announces that Mephibosheth shall eat bread at my table.
Amen.
Continually. And I watched this, Brother Peach. The Lord showed me this. I've watched people down through the years get saved.
Yes.
I've seen prostitutes get saved.
Yeah.
I can remember one. I could call her name. Got born again. Knox County Jail. Got saved. You think she did? What about that jailhouse religion? I don't know. Won't you tell me about it?
Right.
And she started coming to church. But she couldn't forgive herself of her past.
Amen.
And she'd sit in the back like a little whipped pup all the time. And she'd want to rejoice. She'd want to shout. She'd want to get into the service. And she had every right to do that.
Right.
But she had a hard time forgiving herself.
Right.
You know how long it takes the Lord to forgive you? How long does it take?
But sometimes it'll take you years to forgive yourself.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right. Amen.
And then I watched her as the years went by. She started moving up. Moving up. Then I come in once she was in the choir.
Amen.
Then she wanted to teach a Sunday school class. Did you let her? Wouldn't you?
Amen.
And such were some of you.
Yes.
But you've been washed. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when they first come in, they don't feel worthy. Well, it's good to stay right there.
Yeah, yeah,
right. I feel my fellow chef, man, he feels so inferior. I mean, he's sitting there, but that tablecloth of grace and mercy has covered him little crippled nubs. And they've got him propped up just as high as the rest of the boys.
That's right.
And I believe after a while he realizes, you know what, this ain't about me.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
About a covenant he had with my dad. Pass them taters up here.
Amen. Amen.
Is that crackling cornbread? Put that on it.
Amen.
He said, as my sons, didn't he?
That's
what he said. Now let's leave him there, okay, eating taters and crackling cornbread and drinking buttermilk. And let's go back to Lodibar. Let's look at the scene back in Lodibar. Mrs. Mephibosheth is waiting for a phone call. You say, they didn't have a phone back then. We've installed one. As soon as the message is over, you can disconnect it if you want to. Just any minute, she's going to get a call that Mephibosheth has been executed.
Yeah.
Now, I picture maybe her sister coming over to comfort her and the kids. Martha, have you heard anything?
No.
Do you think it's already happened?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Bless his little heart. Oh, bless his heart.
Kids are squalling. And the phone rings. You can disconnect it when I'm through preaching, but right now it's ringing. And I got to answer it or I can't go no problem.
That's good.
And one of the girls picks it up.
Hello.
I picture Mama saying, you get it?
I can't. Oh, I can't. You get it? Hello.
Hey, honey.
Yes, Dad. Hey, let me talk to Mama.
Amen.
Daddy's at you. Yeah, let me talk to you, Mama. Mama. Daddy.
Hello.
Hey, honey. Hey, get your youngins ready.
Amen.
Yeah, Dave's going to be sending the chariot down for you. Well, I call him Dave. Yeah. I said, sin, I'm family and all.
Yeah.
He's going to be sending the chariot down front. Yeah, we're going to be living up here in the city of David. Yeah. Now, he gives a little spot out here on the back 40. Huh? No, I don't have to work. He's giving us 35 servants.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Me and the boys just finished supper. Yeah. Eat that old gravy again, did you? Well, they tried taters and some kind of meat. I don't know what it stopped off of. Crackling cornbread. Yeah. Buttermilk. Yeah. Why? You know, honey, I asked David about that. I said, why?
You know what he told me? Told me it wasn't about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me it was a covenant.
Yes.
A covenant that he made with Dad.
Yeah.
He said, Dad's gone, and the covenant falls to me, so
he's going to be sending a chariot down. Yeah, don't bring nothing with you from Lodibar. No, no, no.
No, we don't need no baggage from Lodibar.
No, no, no. He's giving us all things new up here, honey.
Hey, you won't even have to cook no more. No, leave the pots and pans. Yeah, we're set for life. Yeah, we're family.
Amen.
Yeah, I gotta go, David. Dave's hollering for me. I gotta go see. Get kids, get young and ready.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You can't prove it happened like that. You can't prove it didn't.
Amen.
You say, what's that got to do with me? Because 2,000 years ago. Covenant is only as good and as strong
yes,
as both of the covenanters.
Right.
2,000 years ago, one of the covenanters was in glory. And the other covenanter was hanging on a cross outside the northern gate of Jerusalem. And he took one bloody hand and he reached it up to the other covenanter, God his Father. And he took the other bloody hand and he extended it down to man. And he made a covenant of blood.
Yes, sir.
Now, If you can tell me a covenant that's any stronger,
right,
than a covenant between God and God,
yes,
I'm all ears. You say, how saved am I? I don't know. How strong is that covenant?
Right. Amen. That's right.
In 1963, at Third Creek Baptist Church, a little 10-year-old boy sat there lost. Lost. And a messenger was sent down to that first row where I sit beside my dad.
Amen.
And said in my heart, the King wants to see you.
Yes, glory. Amen. Amen.
He wants to have audience with you and in his chambers. I said, not me. I'm not worthy. He said, ain't about you. Not about you. It's about a covenant.
That's right.
Between God the Father and God the Son. It's about a blood covenant. You've been invited to come. Will you accept the covenanter? I said, oh yes. Yes, I'll accept the covenanter. You better believe I will. Yeah. That's how I got in. How'd you get in? Talking about a covenant. I thought about this. We know where the Lord Jesus is not on the cross. He's not in a tomb. But you have in glory. And I can only go so far with this. Because I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God. Shows Himself in three personalities. Amen? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was very God of very God. In flesh, God manifest in flesh. But in glory, there's the presence of God. The Bible says that is a light no man can approach unto. But there's also in glory a man. Hallelujah.
Yep.
The God-man that still has the marks of the covenant.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep.
You're looking at a man that spelled the Lord more times than you can count on a calculator.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir, brother.
Backslid more times than all of you put together. And I believe there's been times where God the Father has said, that's it. That boy can't do nothing right. He ain't got no stick-to-itness. His faith stinks. I'm going to wipe him out. But there's another covenanter. Seated at his right hand. That displays the marks of the covenant.
Yes.
And there's an immediate ceasefire.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know the one I'm preaching about? Do you know Him? How saved can you be when you come underneath a covenant like that? A covenant of blood between God the Father and God the Son. You say, I'm not worthy. Ain't about you.
Right.
If you ever think you are worthy, you're a miserable creature.
Yeah.
You ever feel like you can dress yourself up and do enough where you are worthy? God have mercy on your soul. Tell you what you can do. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if your sins would make the whole congregation blush. I don't care. When you come under that covenant contract at Calvary, you can walk in this church and you can sit just as tall and high as anybody. Yeah. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about a covenant. Yeah. And you're inside one of those covenants.
Yep.
I'm almost through. Somebody asked me, said, you going to do the announcement? I said, no, Brother Jeff is. Does he know what? I'm not sure if he does or not. But I'd rather him make a mistake as me.
So he said, Brother Barry, you're going to close it out? And I will with a verse of invitation in just a minute. I was working for myself. And look, that means I'm about through. And trying to make a living. And I got a couple of big jobs at one time then, and it scared me. I thought, oh man, I ain't got enough money to go buy the material for that. And I went to the plumbing supply house. And they said, well, you want to set up credit? And I said, yeah. So, well, you got to fill out a credit application. I said, okay. This ain't going to be pretty. You know, they asked for liquid assets. And I thought, man, what are they talking about? So I filled it out as best I could, and I gave it to the feller. And he said, you got collateral here. You got your truck. Yes, sir. Own your home? No. You rent? Is that your truck out there? And I said, yes, sir. He said, does it run? I said, yeah. He said, well, Mr. McDonald, and he stopped. I'll never forget this day till the day I die. He stopped me. He said, you kin to Gene McDonald? I said, yes, my dad. He said, you Gene's boy? I said, yes, sir. He said, you need some stuff today?
Amen.
He did it right. I said, yes, sir. I walked up to that counter, buddy, like I owned the biggest plumbing company in America. And get this now. Get this. He was standing up there, and they give that little old credit app to the lady in the back, and she come out with a heart attack, arrest call. They're getting ready to give me credit. And she said, oh, wait. Mr. Knight, this is incomplete. He said, that's okay, I know it's daddy.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Did you get it?
Yep.
Did you get it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, buddy.
Amen.
Not about me.
Right. Amen.
No. It's about him. Hallelujah. It's about a covenant of God with God, and I'm the beneficiary of it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Not about you. You backslid, you cold, you indifferent. Yeah, I am, preacher. You reckon he'll take me back? No, I don't reckon. I know he will.
Amen.
Ain't a doubt in my mind. Yeah, the marks of the covenant will bring you back.
Amen.
Man. Brother, come and get us a verse of invitational hymn. I ask you to stand just for a minute. We'll sing a verse of invitation. My Father, as I bow in your presence, I thank you, Lord. I know I'm nothing. I've never been anything except what you've made me inside. You've proven to me time and time again, Lord, I walk away from you and I go downhill in a split second. Without you, I'm absolutely nothing. I grew up proud of my daddy's name. Proud of it. No, I'm proud of my Savior's name. Proud to bear his mark. Lord, if there's one here, my Father, that doesn't know you, it's not an elect group. It's whosoever will, let him come. That blood covenant was for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth that will accept the covenanter. Father, I pray that you would deal with hearts. There's someone here that might be lost. Pray you deal with them. Lord, if there's one here, my Father, that they're not living right and they've messed up and almost talk themselves out of even coming, Lord. They're so ashamed of themselves. I pray that you would deal with that heart as only you can. Nobody else can do it that way. I pray you'd sit down and you would rub in that soothing balm of Gilead. Put your arm about them. Show them the marks of the covenant. Let them know that it's not about them. It's about a covenant. I pray you'd bring them to the altar on the very first verse. In Jesus' name. Let's stand up and sing while we...